Good morning, everyone. Today we start a new chapter, Emerging with Shiva, in our daily lesson, Sub of the Subconscious Mind. Sometimes it seems a bit obscure, but I thought I'd give it a go. There is one area of the subconscious mind that seems rather devious and extremely hard to program. It is called the sub of the subconscious mind. It often could seem like faulty software in the computer. But when finally programmed correctly, it can become the greatest asset. It brings us good luck and assists with perfect timing through life. At times we feel as if nothing is happening to us anymore. Everything is going along smoothly. We walk up to a closed door and the door opens for us. We walk up to a telephone and it begins to ring. These signs show us that the subconscious is going along very nicely. As soon as we do not enjoy this fine timing, it is generally because of the sub of the subconscious area. For when two programs of a similar nature go into the subconscious computer at different times, they mix and mingle and form a third program within the subconscious that is difficult to fathom intellectually. It is recorded in the sub of the subconscious. For this reason, the sub of the subconscious mind seems awesome and foreboding. If both of the programs are good, beneficial, positive, and spiritually vibrant, things go smoothly for us. But if they are not, this area of the subconscious can be very disturbing. Remedies are deep introspection and emotional intellectual honesty. The subconscious can become very powerful, creating healthy new tendencies in this life and molding a dynamic personality. Two thoughts at different times sent into the subconscious mind form, in what is called the sub of the subconscious, a totally different rate of vibration when intermingled. That is, if the psychological arrangement of the mind was the same at the time each thought entered it. This subconscious formation of thought often turns into feelings of the lower instinctive nature and causes the external mind to react to situations in a way that it would normally not have done. The subconscious mind not only attracts situations that express its contents, but creates situations by playing upon the subconscious itself. Sub of the subconscious mind, therefore, is the part of the subconscious that stores and manages the unfathomable result of the combinations of intense, emotionally charged experiences, either positive or negative. These combinations create a third hybrid reactionary condition, quite unlike what either experience alone could have caused. Color shall be our example. Blue stands alone as a color, and so does yellow. When they merge, they make a third color, green, which creates a mood when you look upon it, different than the mood that arises from looking upon blue or yellow alone. Only in understanding that green is a composite of yellow and blue, is the mystery dispelled. Add white to red and you get pink. Add water to soil and you get mud. This is easy to understand and shows the nature of impressions coming together in the subconscious. Add oxygen to hydrogen and you get water. That is a mystery which parallels the nature of the subconscious mind, a realm where 1 plus 1 equals 3, while in the subconscious the sum is 2. So, I found an analogy. One of the things we're going to do on the India Inner Search program is go over some of the basics before we jump into the 12 Mamsani, because everyone has quite a varied background, and so kind of go through the five states of mind and the three phases of mind. So for that, I found an analogy, for that material, I found an analogy which I think helps on the subconscious. It's about a surveillance camera at a retail store. So that's easy to imagine. A surveillance camera at a retail store sees and hears everything that happens in the store. That's like the conscious mind, right? Conscious mind sees and hears everything that goes on. The information is recorded on tapes and placed in a storeroom. That's like the subconscious mind. Most tapes are uneventful. However, some record significant events, both positive and negative. A positive event example is visits of important people to the store. A negative event example is a robbery. Such major events are stored separately on special shelves. Events of the same type are placed next to each other, subconscious mind. So that's the idea, is normally what we experience just goes into the subconscious mind and it doesn't really impress us. But really important things, in the case of the subconscious mind, it's important because it's emotionally charged, as Gurudeva says. We've gotten excited about something, either positively or negative. So those events are stored adjacent to one another, so to speak. And that's why they combine. So you get two events of a positive nature, something that happens at a festival, combines in a positive way and helps you have better experiences at future festivals. Two events of a negative kind, like some disaster in public speaking. This happened twice. Every time you have to give a speech, you find yourself getting sick. I can't go, I'm sick today. Tuck ourselves into something, avoiding the event because we've had two negative events in the past. So that's the idea. They're stored together because they're similar and they're special. Why are they special? Because they're emotionally intense. So we have three examples. Our first example is a negative example. A young man goes to an office party and accidentally spills coffee on his suit. Being a gentle, shy man, he becomes embarrassed and emotionally upset when everyone turns to look at him. Many months later, he attends his sister's wedding. In her excitement at the reception, she accidentally spills tea on her beautiful new sari. She is naturally embarrassed, but it is a psychological moment for him, intensified by his attachment to his sister, and he becomes more embarrassed for her than she is for herself. A year later, he discovers that each time he attends a social gathering, his solar plexus becomes upset, his digestion is affected, and he gets a headache and has to leave. The fear mechanism stimulated by the subconscious mind is protecting him from another upsetting condition among a group of people. This continues for a number of years until the subconscious in a semi-dream state reveals itself to him, and he sees clearly how the two reactionary thought patterns caused by the dual experiences met and merged and gave rise to a different conscious experience, the indigestion, the headaches, and the dread of being among people. Once the obstacle was resolved in the light of understanding, he would be able to be among people and gatherings without these ill effects. The second one is a positive example in the business world. A man's business flourishes during the summer. The next winter, he experiences great exhilaration and satisfaction at winning a skiing competition. The summer success and the winter accomplishment merging in the subconscious creates a third different impression, which builds an abiding confidence and impulsion toward future victory. The next year, he goes into a second business and again prospers. His competitors wonder how he has avoided the seasonal ebbs and flows of this particular business. How has he been so lucky, they wonder. The strong impression of being successful planted in the subconscious has created a positive habit pattern for the forces of the subconscious to flow through. And our last example, religious example. The subconscious can also be formed by the blending of strong, intuitive, religious, or mystical impressions. For instance, a devotee has an elevating vision of a deity in an early morning dream or a conscious vision during meditation. A year later, while meditating, he has the experience of flying through the akasha in his astral body. These two impressions merge in the subconscious and create a deep-seated faith and unwavering certainty in the inner realities. Such vasanas bring up courage and eliminate the fear of death, replacing it with the assurance that life is eternal, The soul is real, and the physical body is but a shell in which we live. Now we have seen that the subconscious state of mind can be beneficial, or it can hold impressions that are actual obstacles in our path that must eventually be dealt with and overcome. Both positive and negative impressions can lie vibrating within it at the same time without interfering one with another. So as we can see, it's the from the examples, it's the external circumstances that catalyze it to express itself. In other words, when the external conditions are the same in a general way, then that subconscious can express itself either in a positive or negative way. And if it's negative, then it generally does something that surprises us. We have a reaction that's atypical, that's something we usually wouldn't experience. That's how we know it's subconscious. It's atypical. It doesn't fit our normal reactionary patterns. It stands out. So what an odd thing for me to be experiencing. I wonder where that comes from. So Gurudeva gives a nice method and cognizant ability for eliminating negative subconscious impressions, which reads, the sub of the subconscious mind can be understood consciously when the thoughts which created this sub are traced. This will usually be found when the conscious mind is at its lowest ebb. When resting, it is possible to study the sub of the subconscious mind with ease. The body is relaxed, and the conscious mind has loosened its hold on external objects. When study has commenced, trace through the thought pictures consciously, without disturbing the overall picture. Take into consideration the fact that all thought stems from a series of influences within the ego. These influences take form and shape in thought. When you manifest pictures before you, trace them to their conception by holding the consciousness lightly over the mind, blotting out all distractions that may creep into the mind in an effort to disturb your consciousness. Remember to take your findings, whatever they may be, and consciously think them through until all doubts have been dispelled. You will then find, through your conscious effort, the sub of the subconscious has been understood consciously as well as subconsciously. The principle is to keep your mind quiet while you are studying a problem, and do not react subconsciously to the study of the problem. Sit back and quietly allow the problem to unfold before your vision. So a good time to do that is after a negative subconscious experience has occurred, which you think is subconscious because it's atypical. It's not the way you normally would react to something. It just really puzzles you why you are doing this. And maybe you can remember having done it before too, which is another way of identifying it. Certain circumstances come up and you react, you get sick, or you get critical, or certain things happen that you normally wouldn't experience. So after that, shortly after that, if you try this process, that's the best time to find the sub of the subconscious. And if you find it, then you can eliminate it. And Gurudeva's key here, let's find it, is by holding the consciousness lightly over the mind. So that means it's more an observing of what's going on rather than analysis of what's going on. In other words, we don't want to think too much about what we're seeing. We don't want to turn on the intellect and analyze it to death. What we're experiencing, we just want to keep awareness lightly over the mind, observing it. And if we can do that, then it helps to sort it out. Okay, well, I hope that gave you some more insights into the sum of the subconscious. We won't have a test, but it's not really as challenging as it seems. It's just a little different at first to grab onto. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful phase.